Hello and welcome to episode 111, or 111, of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I'm Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grunislav, and with me, as always...
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben the 304. How are you, Francisco?
I'm doing okay. We haven't podcasted in a long time. It's been kind of a hectic couple of months.
Yeah, you went away, and then I got ill, and then here we are.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad, really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also, I've been sort of dealing with stuff, and it's been...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, not to get into any boring personal stuff, but it's been a bit of a roller coaster for me. But things seem to be evening out a little bit, and here we are in podcasting, and it's all good. So, forward, as always, as they say.
Who says that?
I don't know. I said it. That's good enough, right?
You don't get to be they. You get to be you.
Okay.
Well, you can't just.
That's
can't
what
just...
I say.
Right. That's better.
Anyway, so yeah, this is our podcast. Welcome. It's been a while since we did this. I forgot that we stopped.
Hello.
We stopped doing the whole what we've been playing and all that crap. Right. We just go straight into it.
We did. Okay. Yeah. Right. We just. Well, although, I mean, I should tell people that they should play Darkside Detective. That's a fun adventure game.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. You did play that, and you told me that you enjoyed it quite a lot. So.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I loved it.
Okay, good. I don't think I've played any new adventure games in the time we've been away.
Weren't you playing an FMV one the other day?
No, I played an FMV one called The Infectious Madness of Dr. Decker a while ago, but... I think I already,
right.
I may have already mentioned it on here.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like FMV games, go for it. But if you don't, stay away.
If you like FMV games, why?
Well, yes. that's another important How? Question that one should ask quite a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm sure that there's some very good ones. People are allowed
sure
to
there are. I
entitled
wish,
to have their own opinion.
I'm sure there are some good FMV games. I wish I could find them, but... they seem to elude me. Anyway,
just because we don't like a thing doesn't mean it's no merit in it.
That's true. You're right. All right. So we've had another topic suggestion. Actually, we had a plethora of topic suggestions from Mr. Snarky.
He's very suggestive.
Yeah. So thank you, Snarky, because you've provided us with some material for several weeks. So we're going to talk about another. Suggestion that he brought up, which is community interaction, and I'll have another dramatic reading of his forum post.
Let's do it.
You interact with other indie, that's in parentheses, indie game devs in all sorts of ways, online and at conventions, meetups, etc. And with the broader adventure game community through a number of different channels, the podcast, blogging, articles on various gaming sites, this forum via Twitter. How has that affected you and your work? Why do you do it, and what do you get out of it? Examples. Are there some communication channels you consider particularly important for particular purposes? Is it possible to generalize about what the different overlapping communities you are part of are like? On the other side, what are the drawbacks and pitfalls? Have you experienced difficulties? When is it just a waste of time? Are there some dynamics or tendencies in some communities or on some communication channels that you consider problematic or at least unhelpful? Gamer culture is sometimes accused of being toxic, and some people feel that way about the AGS forums. Do you agree at all regarding any community you've been a part of? How has your experience changed, for better and worse, as you become better known? And what advice would you give to other game makers, both hobbyists and those seeking to make a career, about engaging with different communities? Boy,
I gotta
boy.
Say, his suggestions are better thought out than our actual talking about them.
It's true, yes. So I'm going to keep this up so that I can refer to it so I know that we've covered every single
That's a very good idea.
Of his
I've forgotten thing. 90% because... of it already.
So let's start off talking about something close to home, the AGS forums. Why don't you start off by talking about your experiences with the AGS forums when you first started and how you've seen it change throughout the years, and I'll follow suit.
I mean, I wouldn't be here doing this podcast, doing these games, doing this work, this job without the AGS forums. It's that simple. You know, those people, you know, inspired me, educated me, you know, sort of were a support network when stuff was, when I was learning things, were a support network once I'd learned a few things and, you know, gave me encouragement. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff before I started talking to people, and they sort of said, oh yeah, do this, try this, you know, this works, this doesn't work, that sort of stuff. And you get good advice and you get bad advice, and I've given good advice and I've given bad advice on this very podcast, you know. And I think you have to be aware that when advice is being given, you got to take some with a grain of salt. Sometimes it's like science. You got to experiment with some of the suggestions and see, does this actually work for me or not, you know. But the AGS forums is where I learned most of the stuff that I do now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
which is cool to see that it's still going, because there used to be a ton of forums, like back in the day when I sound old, but when you and I first started, well, especially when you first started, but even when I started, you know, there are a ton of forums that you could join about different engines, you know, just different communities. And it's sort of consolidated a bit, or shrunk maybe. I don't know about shrunk. AGS has shrunk, but I think there's as many adventure game people on Facebook and Twitter now as there ever was on AGS.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, there's, you don't use Facebook very much, but there is a dedicated AGS Facebook group, and there's also
right.
Interesting. Well, maybe I just haven't looked at it, but I know I'm a member of a group called Sierra Gamers, which gets posted in quite a lot. People nostalgic for old Sierra games, but
right.
there isn't one for LucasArts Facebook that I've seen anyway.
When I used to use Facebook, like, oh man, I was always chatting with adventure game people on that. And actually, I met a ton of adventure game people via Facebook connections, you know.
Right.
Facebook stopped being good for me, so I stopped using it. But
why
that wasn't any
Facebook
comment
stop?
On, like, the quality.
Well, that's
was
part
that,
of
sorry?
That's part of Snarky's question, I guess, is why did Facebook stop being good for you? Was it anything in particular?
That wasn't to do with like adventure game stuff or anything like that. I just hated using Facebook, and you know.
Okay, fair enough.
In terms of social media, that stuff takes up a lot of time.
Sure.
You know, and there's only so many hours in the day. And
yeah.
Just I yeah.
Of course.
Facebook is pretty intensive compared to Twitter. I can turn off easier, I guess. I don't
know. Okay.
That could be just me fooling myself into thinking that, because I am on Twitter a lot. But yeah, I think like. I remember when I first joined a forum, it was the Adventure Developers Forum.
Oh man, and, I remember those forums.
Yeah, that was my first adventure games forum. Okay. And you know, those guys were less scary than the AGS forums were back then, because the AGS forums were intimidating, man. Like, I was like, oh, all these people are really good and I'll never be this good, and you know, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And, like, you know, they were more heavily moderated. Adventure Developers wasn't heavily moderated. They're, like, seven people, you know, so. Like, but, yeah, they kind of, they were the people that would give me feedback and stuff like that. And that forum, I don't even know if it's around anymore, you know.
I don't know if it is. I don't think it is, actually.
I know I see one or two of the people from those forums still around the place, which is cool.
Hmm.
You know, I like to see that. To see the old guard, I guess, like, still kicking around.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of one of those things that when you first start out, you don't really have any focus. You're just like, I want to make games, like, just this nebulous idea of making games. And being around other people doing it helps show you what works, and certainly gave me a head start. And then gave me support and encouragement for once I'd learn a bit of stuff, as I said before, to sort of keep pushing, keep trying to get better. And when you're surrounded by talented people who are improving, it gives you the drive to improve as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what kind of drove me to push myself to improve, and, you know, that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So what about you?
Yeah, so the first forum I joined was the Reality on the Norm forums, as I... told, bless you.
Thank you.
As I've mentioned several times, I first joined the Reality on the Norms forum because even though I was using AGS, like you, I kind of felt that the AGS forums were kind of intimidating. So once I had actually made a few games, that's when I decided to join the AGS forums. And I also joined the AGS IRC channel, which was a thing back then. And I remember the first time I ever went in, I had listened to all of the AGS operas that mods had done back at the time.
Right.
And one of them was about C. Lexutin, who was this forum/IRC channel member who... He never actually made any games, but he was kind of like the wise old sage, but he kind of, I mean, he wasn't that old. He has to have been like in his mid-20s at the time.
But, yeah, you know, but the rest of us were kids. That was old in ages.
Right, exactly. I was like 19, so to me that was already a little bit older. Anyway, so, but the thing about C. Lexutin is that he, I think his name was Cortland Lexutin. He had a cool name. But anyway, he posted a couple of pictures of himself, and he looked like Agent 47. So the joke was that he was the AGS forum's hitman. So mods did this whole song about him and like how he'd come and kill you while you're asleep and stuff like that. So I had listened to all of these things, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go to the IRC channel. So I went into the IRC channel, and I was like, I just listened to all these songs. They were really cool. I like C. Lexutin. And C. Lexutin was in the chat room. He's like, oh, that's about me. And I was like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity. And
it's funny how big forum personalities can seem at some points.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I just sort of ingratiated myself into the AGS forums and the IRC channel and stuff, and little by little I started making games, and then I just kind of became a known person in the forums, and then I stopped... I still hang out on the forums every... I still check the AGS forums every day, but I'm not as active as I used to be, and... actually, I was going to ask you about one, because there's one resource that I think has been valuable for you that I've never really taken much advantage of in the AGS forums, which is the Critics Lounge.
Yeah.
I know that you've posted in it a lot and you've given a lot of advice in it. I've used it not so much, not because, I think the main reason is just because I've always been afraid to post my stuff, even now. So, yeah, I don't know. Why don't you talk a little bit about the Critics Lounge?
Well, I mean, it's always good to get genre-specific feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing, as Snarky mentioned, I've been doing articles on adventure gamers about adventure game art and blog posts and stuff like that talking about, because there's a lot of resources about learning how to draw or learning how to paint or learning how to animate, but there's not a great deal that are specifically related to adventure games.
Right.
So with the Critics Lounge, like, I didn't... When I first started learning how to draw, it's funny. My brother used to get these car magazines, and I used to read the car magazines. Not that I was super interested in cars, but I was, you know, I would read anything back then. And they had this illustrator that would get given a concept every week, and he'd have to do these concept illustrations.
Excuse me.
My goodness. Yeah, they had an illustrator that had to do concept illustrations about cars. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. This guy makes, you know, concept art, basically. And I was like, oh, this guy's really cool. So that was like the first artist I remember admiring. But that didn't really help me draw adventure games because it's pictures of cars, you know. So...
Well, I mean, unless you wanted to do an adventure game that was exclusively about cars and...
I think Pixar had
character.
That
yeah.
Sort of tied up. But yeah, so I could draw a few cars, but I wanted to draw adventure games. So right. I sort of, you know, would just... And I would just get on the forums and just... I'd sort of do... I was notorious for pretty big threads where people would just keep giving me feedback and I'd just keep implementing it. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't work. But it's worth trying, you know, like what you wasted half an hour trying some advice that you didn't like. Well, who cares? It's half an hour, you know, like
mm-hmm.
It's worth trying that stuff. So I would just take every bit of feedback. Like the first time you use the Critics Lounge, you just want people to tell you that you're good at drawing. Like I was 18 years old, you know, I think I was even 17 years old. I was a kid, you know, and mm-hmm. I wanted people to go, oh, he's good at drawing. Oh, no, I must have been 18. Never mind. But yeah, so I was like, oh, people can look at my art and they can go, wow, he's good. But they didn't say, wow, he's good. They're like, oh, this needs a lot of work. So, you know,
sure.
I took that advice to heart. And eventually I realized that this wasn't to get, this isn't deviant art, it's not to get people to look at your art, but it's to get people to say, this is how you can make it better. So I really started taking that feedback to heart, and it helped me a lot. It's impressive how much good advice I got from the AGS forums, like especially guys like Luminous, who have a lot of art theory chops, who really know what they're talking about. Like, I gotta say, like, me especially, incredibly blessed to have guys like that around who really knew what they were talking about and could give specific but, you know, important and even fundamental advice, like some basic stuff that I didn't know, really helped me out. And, you know, and eventually you get into things like competitions, you get into stuff like, you know, we've had a few workshops and stuff, which don't really work that well because it's a lot of work to try and pull a workshop through from beginning to end.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to see like someone's process, and seeing that process can really help show you, well, this is one way that you can do this, you know, even if the workshops never super went anywhere, to be able to see those processes gives you an idea. Excuse me. So yeah, that was really helpful, having competitions and just like, even like you'd get a new forum member, you're like, oh, he's better at drawing this than me, I got to practice this. You know, that helps. It helps push you, like, not out of envy or anything like that, but just like, oh, this is what's possible. I didn't realize that was possible. You know, the horizon suddenly expanded a great amount by these talented people coming in and saying, you know, maybe they'd been inspired by comic art or film art or something like that, but that's what they bring to the table and, you know, would really just drive me on. I can name a bunch of guys who, when they joined the AGS forums or, you know, the adventure game scene, my art improved just because of, I was like, oh, I want to do that too.
Right. Excuse me. Yeah.
You're making a lot of odd noises today.
There's some sort of construction happening outside on the street today.
Oh, I see. I thought it was gaseous discharge of various forms.
No, it's not that bad. I'm, yeah. Anyway, so I haven't used the AGS forums. I mean, like I said, I still check them every day, but I don't read every single one. Like, I very rarely read general discussion anymore.
Right.
Or, you know, usually I stick to games in production or adventure game related talk and chat, and sometimes engine development. And once in a while, if I need something, like recently I've been posting in, I still always post in beginner's technical questions because I always feel like my technical questions are still in beginner mode.
It's hard to know if it's what qualifies for a more advanced technical question. True. I always wonder about that.
Yeah.
How do you know?
I don't know. I always err on the cutoff. Yeah, I always err on the side of it's a beginner thing.
You're clearly not a beginner, though. You've made how many games?
But still, there's still certain things that I feel like I've never really reached beyond. Anyway, but the point is,
right,
like,
but yeah, that's another good point, is that it's a resource of information.
And people are always willing. Yeah, people are always willing to help, and you know, if I post something, I'll usually have a response within a day. It's pretty good.
Right.
I'm curious about Snarky's comment about some people feel that the AGS forums are toxic and are involved in gamer culture. I haven't really seen, compared to some other forums I've looked at, I haven't really seen that sort of attitude is prevalent on the AGS forums. I have no idea what it would be like for someone new to join up now and just sort of throw themselves in and start, you know, I don't think there's any aggressive or standoffish members of the AGS forum who, you know, and we certainly don't really have any trolls or anything, except for Trolls Plymert, who may or may not post on the AGS forums, I forget. But, but yeah, like, for the most part, I think the AGS community is still pretty welcoming and friendly, if not one of the most welcoming and friendly communities on the internet. But then I don't really have too much of a basis for comparison because it's really one of the only forums that I belong to.
I think AGS has had its share of problematic times.
Sure, but overall, it's never descended into, like, it's never completely turned into like a wasteland of just obnoxious people who shit on everything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, like, we're pretty lucky to have a pretty a dedicated team of moderators that, like, you know, jump in whenever there's a need to jump in. And there's been its share of controversy, but I try and ignore that. You know, I mean, I guess I'm like you that I don't use AGS as much as I used to. Like, I mean, social media has kind of replaced that in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, same.
Sort of.
All my game stuff is pretty much relegated to Twitter these days.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of AGSs I follow on Twitter, and it's better for getting updates on their games.
Yeah,
than
same.
Just waiting for them to do an update on games in production, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
It's weird because there's this sort of weird, yeah, there's this weird double standard, I guess you could call it. Because, like, if I see a games in production thread and the author of the games in production thread and therefore the game, like, you know, double posts or consistently posts a new screenshot, like, every day or something, I tend to think more along the lines of, like, oh, man, why are you double posting so much? Like, you know, I think in the terms of forum etiquette. And I'm like, oh, why are you posting so much? That's weird. But if that same person, if I followed that same person on Twitter and they posted a different screenshot every day, then I would be more inclined to think, oh, this person is just tweeting new screenshots. That's cool. And I can't explain why that is. I guess it's just the dynamic of a forum versus Twitter. But
yeah, I guess with a forum, it's an open space and you don't get to choose who you follow, so you don't curate your feed.
Yeah, right.
Whereas in, you know, anyone can make an account and get up in everyone's faces if they post every single day, you know. Whereas Twitter, if you want to follow a project, you follow that specific project, not the forum or engine that they're using, sort of thing. So it is different.
Yeah.
Not to a super great extent, but at least to that extent it is different, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, if I have a forum thread for a game, I'm not going to post a work in progress, you know, placeholder sketch with a funny thing in it, whereas I would have no problem posting that on Twitter because it's just a silly thing, you know. People will see it, they'll move on, that's it. Whereas on a forum, it's like, if someone comes and browses through this, it's going to be cluttering up the important stuff that you want people to get
That might be an important point, is that social media like Facebook and Twitter moves fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's ephemeral. I mean, Twitter also is so short format. It's 140 characters, maximum four pictures. You can't do a great deal with that. Except everyone threads these days, which is hard to keep up with.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like this new trend that I'm not quite completely... I haven't quite wrapped my head around it completely, but...
I prefer it when people who want to write a thread write a blog post, just because I find it easier to read. But I get why they use a thread, because people actually use Twitter. And, you know, you get 5,000 followers on Twitter versus 200 people that read a blog.
Sure.
Big difference.
Yeah, blogging has sort of... I mean, it's still a thing, but it's definitely, I think, decreased in popularity in the past few years. But you still blog.
I do. I haven't done for a little while. Most of my attention's been focused on sort of my personal studies for a bit, but I had a bunch of stuff that I wanted to blog about, and I still write a monthly adventure game article for Adventure Games. They were very smart, and when I started writing the thing, they were like, "Oh yeah, we want a sort of article every month." So I committed myself to an article every month, and that's good because I feel like I've got to do my article for the month rather than like blog posts. I could do as many as I want, and you sort of wear yourself out on it and get bored of it and then have a break. But yeah, writing about adventure games has been great. Writing blog posts, writing tweets, and, you know, forum posts too, and this podcast too. But like, the more you talk about a thing, the more you consciously think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if I begin designing a scene and I've been consciously talking about certain elements of doing something, I'm thinking about that while I work on that scene. And that's great because, you know, having stuff to focus on is one of the greatest tools in terms of personal development, because you actually have some focus rather than like, I want to get better and have no sort of clear direction how, you know, being able to go, well, this is how I can be better. I can improve this, I can improve that. So talking about stuff, I found this with guitar as well. When I started teaching guitar to a kid, you know, having played guitar for a while, this kid, you know, had all these questions like, why does this happen and why does that happen? And I had to really start thinking about it rather than just being like, oh, that's just how it is, you know.
Shut up, kid. Just listen to your instructor.
Yeah. You know, don't...
Come on,
but yeah, so,
burn!
But it's just... It's the same with adventure game art. It's like, I'm suddenly thinking about, well, why do I do this? Why does this look good? How does this work, you know? And that is a very empowering tool, personally. Because you can do a lot if you have, like, well, this does this. And it, rules aren't always hard and fast with design laws, with writing rules, with art rules and everything like that. But talking about it makes it a conscious thing. And being conscious about something invites success, I think.
Mm. Yes.
So, yeah.
Good.
Good.
Well...
I also think, like, and this is a much... more personal thing about it. It's cool to have buddies doing the same thing as you're doing, and it's cool to feel like you're part of a community, you know.
Oh, sure.
And it's cool to see your friends succeed and be who started a game 5 years ago, finally releasing it. That's a great feeling, and like, hey, I can do that too. You know, we're all in this together sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And obviously you and I've egged each other on for years now. Like,
yes.
just
literally,
sort of,
you've thrown,
you know,
eggs at
pushing
me.
Each other. Yes, but pushing each other to improve, and, like, you know, the fact that
you chased me once with a chicken, and you threw the chicken was laying eggs, and you shot them at me out of the chicken's cloaca like a bazooka. It was horrifying.
This is utter libel, I want to say, but you know,
it makes for a funny
image.
It does
help to have, like. It does help to have people doing cool stuff, and you see someone improve in a year.
Sure.
And you think, well, have I improved in the past year? You know, they're doing this amazing stuff. I also want to be, you know, the best that I can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lonely road if you walk it alone, I think, you know,
yeah.
And a pretty miserable sort of experience.
But it's also important to remember that just because someone else is getting better, you shouldn't beat yourself up about not doing so. And there's definitely
the
pitfall of being able, or the pitfall of, like, envy or jealousy, whichever one it is, and just being like, oh, I'll never be as good as so and so. But people just work at different paces. Someone might improve a lot in a short amount of time and then not improve again for a long time. Someone, it might take a really long time for them to improve, and they'll be consistently improving, that sort of thing.
I don't think, for me, I get that, oh, I'll never be as good as them. To me, that's actually empowering. To me, if I see someone improve in a year, I think, well, hey, if they can do it, anyone can do it, you know, sort of not putting them, not belittling their accomplishments, instead using that as an inspiration for the fact that that can be accomplished through hard work, and respecting the hard work and wanting to, you know, sort of, you know, be the same as that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also important to, you know, not put yourself down and recognize that you yourself are improving. And whether it takes a long time or whether it doesn't, it's good to be able to recognize it, but also, you know, remain humble about it. Don't be like, oh, look, I'm the best now. I'm never going to have to. Like, I came to a realization. I tweeted about this the other day. I was working on a background. I started working on a background this week. I hadn't worked on a background in a while. And, you know, I wanted to treat myself, basically, because I hadn't done a background, and I wanted to do this background. I had been excited about doing this background, but at the same time, when I sketched the background, you know, a few months ago, I thought, oh, this is gonna be tricky, this is gonna be a hard background, because it's not something I've done before, really. It's a little out of my comfort zone, like, there's a lot of detail, I want to make it look nice. And I was drawing it, and as I was drawing it, I realized, you know, I can do this. Like, as simple a realization as that was, it really was important for me to realize that. I was like, I can do this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If I put the work in, I'm going to be able to do this, and it's going to come out more or less like what I wanted. And so I tweeted, you know, I finally, and in general, I realized this, because, like, I did an animation a while ago that I had to redo because the way that I did it originally was it didn't come out looking like I wanted to. So I just went back and I hand animated it, and it came out looking 10 times better. And I was like, oh, I actually was able to pull this off. So I was like, I think I've gotten to a point where I've learned enough and I have enough experience that I don't really need to think. Like, it's rare for me now to think, oh, I can't do this, but rather just think, oh, I'm just going to have to put in a bit of extra work to be able to pull this off. Like, this, it doesn't by any mean that I'm resting on my laurels, because I know there's still plenty of room for improvement. But rather than have that personal mental roadblock of, oh, I'm never going to be able to do this, you know, it's more like, oh, yeah, you know, you have that little bit of self-confidence to be able to say, okay, yeah, I can do this. It's just going to take a while.
It's interesting because we probably learn more from our failures than our successes.
Sure.
In terms of what we're able to do. But one of the things failure teaches us, or I want to say quotation marks teaches us, is that we can't do something when in fact, you know, we might be able to do that, just not quite at that point, or maybe there's one little thing we're missing. So one important thing, I think there's a couple of things. Learning perseverance and persistence is a big thing, you know, and to be doing it as long as we've been doing it, you got to have some of that at least, surely, you know.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here if it weren't for a little bit of persistence.
Sure.
another thing, like, especially when you've chosen, like, this is what I want to do, you want to be the best that you can be. Like,
right.
You know, you see good stuff and you're like, oh, I want to do that, you know, the stuff that you admired as a kid or the stuff that you admire now or both. But also, like, there's this idea that putting in a lot of work makes something difficult,
mm-hmm.
which isn't necessarily correct. Putting in a lot of work just means it takes a lot of your time up,
right.
You know. That doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means you've got to put the time in.
Sure.
And I remember Shane Stevens was saying to me one day, we were talking about long animations or something like that, and he said, oh, the long animations aren't harder. They just take more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not necessarily more difficult. It's just you don't get that feeling of, oh, I did it as quickly.
Sure.
Which totally makes sense to me because it feels good to beat a challenge, to win,
right.
You know, and nothing feels better than ticking things off a to-do list.
Mm.
So, you know, but it's funny, I've had various points in my development where I had similar epiphanies of, oh, I can do that. I just am lazy, you know, and so I haven't done it.
Right.
I recently did some studies from photos of human faces,
mm-hmm.
which is something I've never been good at. I've never been able to do very well. And, you know, and I realized this is the dumbest realization I've ever had in my life. I was like, I wish I could draw these better. And I looked at it. I'm like, oh, I know how to make this better. Just draw it more like the photo. And so I did it and it came out looking more like the photo. I was like, oh, that was easy. Why didn't I do that before? That's,
right.
You know, but it's something that took me like 5 years to learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it sounds simple, but of course there's, you know, there's a ton of knowledge and experimentation and stuff that went into making that realization. But when the moment comes, it feels so simple, but it's not really that simple. It's years of progress culminating in a single, oh, yeah, right, moment.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and I mean, that's just as a brief aside to stay on topic, that's one of a pitfall of, like, if you follow other artists on Twitter and, you know, they post this amazing stuff, but, you know, they're posting the amazing stuff. They're not posting the stuff that looks like crap. That's probably, you know, 98% of the rest of the stuff. So you can't go in following other artists and assume that just because they're posting amazing work that represents every single thing they do. So
sure. And I was actually talking about this with Ivan before we did this podcast is you see the last tiny bit of hours and hours and hours of work, you know, you appreciate every, like, 20 hours worth of work, but you look at it in a second and you're like, oh, that's cool. That must be really good.
Right.
You know, there's no way to sum up those countless the years of progress that it takes to
create
a piece of work like that, not to mention the hours on that exact piece itself.
Sure. You know, and like you'll see people post stuff that looks amazing and they'll caption it with like, oh, I did a quick little warm-up sketch before lunch. And you're like, oh my God, their warm-up sketch looks more amazing than anything I could ever do. But that's probably because they've, well, two things. Either they're just saying that, which I don't think a lot of people do, but there is the possibility that would be, yeah. The other thing is that they've been doing this for a really long time, so they are that good that a quick little warm-up sketch is... Also, quick little warm-up sketch doesn't necessarily mean they did it in 30 minutes. It could mean it took them, you know, 2 hours, which if you're a good enough artist, I'm sure you can do something like that good in 2 hours. But, you know, look
at the... I also want to say, with particular styles of drawing... is that the first 20 minutes allows you to make something that looks great, and then it's just hours of slog beyond that.
Sure, exactly. And I mean, look at the old masters'
can be a bit like that.
Paintings and stuff. Like, you know, no painting hanging in a museum took a lunch break to make. You know, most of them took years.
Yeah, there's Rothko.
Well, that's different. That's shit.
Yeah. I was actually talking about him just before, too.
Oh, fantastic. Why?
Because you love him, and I wanted to bring him up.
Anyway,
but yeah, that is important. I mean, it's easy to get envious of something that you're like, oh, why can't I do that yet? And yeah. I think we all fall into that trap.
Sure,
you know. And it's important to not let that get you down. Everyone develops at a different rate. Everyone's better at different stuff. We've all got our strengths. We've all got our weaknesses. You know,
yeah.
I'm good at picking colors, but I can't draw a line to save my life. So you know, I work with what I got. Yeah.
And I mean, like, seeing all those faces that you've been posting made me think, oh man, I haven't done a face study in a while. I should probably do one. And it wasn't because it was like, oh, I'm going to do a face study because I can do
I'll show.
Right. You're right. That's the wrong attitude to have. But it's good to be inspired by other people's stuff. Like, you know, you see someone you follow do a really nice landscape or something, or a face, or, you know, something that you want to try. You know, you can go ahead and it's, you know, be inspired by that and do it yourself. That's good. That's part of the community thing. Like, you know,
it is good.
Yeah.
That's like the best of it.
Don't do the exact same thing that they did, because that's kind of shitty. I did that once and that's kind of shitty.
Yeah, that is kind of shitty. That's petty.
Yeah.
But like it's the best part about the social media thing is seeing people who you admire grow into someone that you admire even more. You know, seeing people that you admire as a person develop into someone that you admire as an artist is amazing. That's like I love that feeling, because you're seeing your friends become more successful, you know, and like, I've been lucky enough to see a lot of my friends go on to do great things. I mean, even AGS forums, we've had some incredibly successful people come out of the AGS forums.
Oh yeah, you know,
and like, not necessarily making games or, you know, anything like that, just like various things.
I always feel good when I see, you know, fame like Neil Ciceriega, who is better known for his musical stuff and things like that. You know, I always proudly think, oh, he was an AGSer. You know,
right.
same with and like Yahtzee and other people.
You feel a kind of kinship with people. Even like, I never talked to Yahtzee. He was way before my time.
Right, yeah.
But you do tend to feel a kinship with people that come from that same place.
Yeah, cut from the same cloth, as it were. That cloth being a really obscure adventure game creation tool. Now let's talk a little bit about meeting people from the community. You haven't met as many people from the AGS community as I have, but you have met
people... I've never done mittens or anything like that.
Yeah, right. But you have met some AGSers.
Sure.
And you've met people from outside the AGS community and the general game development community, as I have.
Right.
So, yeah, I like... Well, I've been to...
Probably the most interesting thing is that when we're all together, we never talk about games much.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the thing.
Probably
you usually
laugh.
Don't
that's a
really...
common shared interest.
Yeah. You generally speaking don't talk about games very much, which is funny. It's a funny thing that happens. But Mittens, for example, like I've been to quite a few Mittens, and I always feel inspired when I go to Mittens. And a lot of the times, like the last Mittens I went to, which was in New Orleans in 2015, we had a show and tell day, which usually is one of the highlights of Mittens, where everyone shows off what projects they're doing and everyone kind of does a sort of communal playtest thing. And it actually helped a lot because at that time I was showing Shardlight and I had the people at Mittens playtest the infamous chalk puzzle. And one of the things that they actually suggested that I ended up implementing at Mittens was the idea of being able to get the message if you drew the symbol correctly, because before it didn't have that. So I sat there and I figured out how to code it, and I asked for help, and then I figured it out and I tested it and it worked. And because of that, you know, in-person community testing, this new feature was added, or I guess you could call it a feature. So just not just that, but just hanging out with like-minded people and being able to bounce ideas off each other is always inspirational.
When you kind of don't talk about games.
Yeah, even if you don't talk about games, still, like, it'll still inevitably come up in the conversation. It's not like that's going to be the topic of conversation all the time, because it would get really boring. But, go ahead.
I think some people try and force it into the conversation, you know, like, oh, we're all interested in games, we should talk about that. But it'll come when it's ready, I think, in those sort of situations. You know, it's pointless to force conversation on a topic unless you're trying to do a podcast and, you know, you're squeezing out your 111th episode or anything like that. But in normal conversation, you don't force a topic like that. You just, if it comes up, it comes up, you know.
Actually, I was at the ice cream social this past Monday, and it was funny because usually you came to one of those, didn't you?
I did, you and they didn't have the ice cream flavor that I wanted.
Oh, which ice cream flavor did you want?
I forget, but I ended up getting Mexican chocolate. It was good, but it wasn't the one I'd wanted.
Oh, well. Anyway, I'm pretty sure the one that you went to, people had broken off into groups and stuff and were kind of chatting amongst themselves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's usually how it's been. And this time it was interesting because everyone kind of sat around the main table and one person just decided to become the group leader and was like, well, why don't we all introduce ourselves? And we all went around and introduced ourselves. And it was very much a round table conversation the entire evening. So it was like, let's introduce ourselves. What are we working on? What are our favorite games? And I was like, after a while, I was just like, this is really awkward conversation. I don't really want to be here anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine that happening. I really struggled.
Not to say that it wasn't a good conversation, but it just sort of felt not unnatural after a while is all. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
I find personally that I just like talking shit, like, you know, like just chatting.
Sure.
And just, that's probably a very Australian way of putting it, but I just like to chat to people and, like, you know, and encourage them and stuff like that. And the game stuff can happen anytime. You know, I can talk to them on Twitter about that. When I'm actually meeting up with a person, I just want to just have a chat, just relax and talk about life and stuff.
Sure.
There's a lot more to life than making adventure games. And when you do it all day as your job, it's great to unwind.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're using people in the same industry, because you got shared stuff, like, you know, I got testing going on and you're like, oh man, that's hard. You know,
yeah.
I hope it goes well sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just like chatting to people, you know?
Mm.
And, yeah, I don't know. I talk a lot though, so and I can I'll talk to anybody in public. So.
Really, I never would have guessed.
But yeah, it is cool to meet people.
Yeah.
That you've worked with, that you've done stuff like that. It's just, if you try and force it to be something more than it is, it's not anything special. You're just meeting up and, you know, enjoying each other's company. It doesn't have to be a big event or anything like that.
Sure. And I mean, like, it's happened to me with, you know, people that I've admired, industry veterans and stuff like that. Like, I've talked about meeting people at GDC and things like that. And, like, as two examples, like, Dave Grossman, for example. Dave Grossman's really easy to talk to. Like, you go up to him, you talk to him about stuff, like, he listens, you have good conversations with him, and it's fine. And, like, I've asked him about game stuff, like, you know, but that hasn't dominated the conversation, to my knowledge. You know, we've talked about other stuff. Whereas someone like Ron Gilbert, you know, I've never been able to hold a conversation with Ron Gilbert because beyond saying, oh, hey, I really enjoyed your games, like, I can't really think of anything else to talk to him about. Because, I mean, Ron Gilbert's nice, but he's not exactly, you can tell he's an introvert. Like, he's not the type of person that can just, you know, spontaneously carry on a conversation like someone like you or someone like Dave Grossman, for instance. You know, so it's just kind of like, oh, hey, awkward sort of standing there, you know? Right. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's different.
But I think that
depends on the person. But then that's the thing that happens. Like, I think, you know, it's probably also because how many people does Ron Gilbert meet that probably come up to him and say, oh my God, I love your games. What's the secret of Monkey Island? Why didn't you make a third Monkey Island? You know, the same old five questions that he's probably sick of hearing 800 billion times.
And, like, it's easy to think, oh, like, you know, I'm meeting Brian Moriarty. We'll talk about games and stuff like that. But it's not a lecture. He's not giving you a lecture or an interview.
Sure.
He's talking to a guy that he just met.
That's, right.
You know, it must be like being a stand-up comedian and, like, people meet you and they're like, oh, tell me a joke. Like, that's not how it works. You're not just a funny person, like, all the time. Like, they have prepared shows that they actually put a lot of time into. You know, it's the same. A game designer spends years working on a game. He is not just going to, like, randomly start offering up sage wisdom just in the middle of, like, a hole.
It's happened to me, actually, a couple of times. I can't remember. It's probably for the best that I don't remember who it was or where it was. But I do remember, like, talking to somebody, and I was trying to, you know, we were talking about stuff, and Ben Jordan came up, and they were telling me, oh yeah, remember that bit in Ben Jordan when this happened? I'm like, well, yeah, I made the game, I do remember. They were just like,
you should have been like, no, I got no. I don't know what I was doing for 5 years.
Yeah. And, you know, I tried to steer the conversation away to other more interesting things, in my opinion, and they just kept going back to it, like, oh yeah, Ben Jordan this, and I was like, I was trying to be polite, but inside I was thinking, Jesus, talk about something else. Who cares about Ben, like, Jordan? I'm glad you liked
it. You're a walking developer commentary.
Yeah, like, I'm glad you liked it, and I appreciate that you played it, and it's nice to have fans, but, you know, there are other things to talk about. Like, we can talk about Ben Jordan, but once we're done talking about it, you know, move on. That's not all I am. So.
And I also find, like, especially now that you and I do it, like, all the time, like that's what we're doing, it's really good to have a break from talking about it.
Yeah.
To just talk about anything, you know, like, and we both have a lot of interests. All people have a lot of interests.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool to talk about a book you read or, you know, anything.
Or a film you, like, saw or anything else.
Yeah. Like, when you think directly about adventure games for at least 8 hours of a day, just to, like, as your job, it's cool to, like, have a break from that. So, you know, I mean, I love talking about adventure games. Obviously, we're both very passionate about the subject. We wouldn't have done 111 episodes of this podcast if we didn't care a lot about them or at least think we have a fair bit to say on the topic. But it's not like you just wake up in the middle, like, you just wake up in the middle of the bed in the morning and, like, King's Quest.
You wake up, you sit up in bed, and a little Graham cap with a feather in it lowers down from the ceiling and onto your head. And you're just like, good morning! And you open the window, and there's an owl sitting outside your window. And, woohoo, watch
out! That
was
better voice acting than King's Quest ever had.
You're right. Well, I have been taking classes.
I'm very impressed. You could be the new King Graham. And Cedric. All your dreams come true.
No, no, those would be my nightmares come true.
You'd love it.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to say something else. I was trying to steer this more towards the positive. But yeah, like, talking... At the same time, though, even though, yeah, talking too much about adventure games is, you know, can be exhausting. Sometimes it is good to just talk shop and bounce ideas off of each other. Like, I always enjoy talking about games with Dave, and not so much because, like, we talk about game... Like, sometimes we talk about game design stuff, but other times we talk just about, like, what games we've played and what we thought about them and things like that, and somehow we always
Dave plays a lot of AAA games.
Yeah, we always inevitably end up talking about Dreamfall chapters, but...
That's true.
Yeah, lately we have anyway, but still, like, it's, you know, it's, there's a lot to say about that game.
Dave and I always talk about Discworld books.
Exactly. So
that's, yeah. But yeah, it is, I mean, it is cool to talk about games. I love talking about games, but I never get to talk about first-person shooters, because no one that I know cares about first-person shooters much, you know, so like, if I get to meet someone that can talk about that. It's like, you know, Dave plays certain games or reads certain books. It's cool to be like, hey, that bit in Discworld was really good. You know, just fan out together on something, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, like, in... Sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I got nothing more to say.
Oh, okay. I was gonna pull the podcast over a little bit into negative territory real quick. Just to get this little bit out of the way, and then we can end on a more positive note if we can think of one. But in the idea of toxic gamer culture, I've had a run-in or two with toxic gamer culture, and I'm sure you have as well. In fact, I know you have as well. Every now and then, you'll get one or two people who are not very nice. And there's different ways of dealing with that. Usually the best way of dealing with that is... Yes, the best way of dealing with them is ignoring them. But sometimes it's in our nature to seek these things out. And I'm guilty of doing such a thing. And I'm talking very specifically about a specific forum that I've been to. I won't name it because that's not a good thing to do, but... There is a forum out there that I admit I check periodically, and I've never seen them say anything positive about anything I've ever done. And in fact, there's been a couple of instances, not just on this forum, but actually on Twitter as well, of, like, after the announcement of me leaving Wajedi, one person on the forum was like, oh, well, I don't trust him. I trust Dave more with the decision. And someone on Twitter said something like, oh, well, given this guy's track record with a Golden Wake and Shardlight, Wajedi should have kicked him to the curb years ago or something like that. And, you know, stuff like that hurts. It's not the best to read about. I know you told me that someone made a video of one of your games where they said that you should... They accused you of trying to join a cult or something?
Oh, yeah. Start a cult. Look, here's the thing, man. Anyone that's worked at all, I think I want to say, knows that people are assholes sometimes.
Yeah, of course, you know? Of course.
We've had, like, you've worked in Starbucks. You must have seen, I know that you've seen people that were assholes, because you told me, anyone that went to school... Yeah. Met kids that were assholes. Sometimes people are assholes.
Yeah, and especially with the internet, there's this barrier of anonymity, or whatever you want to call it, that emboldens people to express their asshole opinions a little more than normal.
Yeah. Oh, you get keyboard warriors that will never say the stuff. But here's the thing, man. Here's some stuff that you got to get used to on the internet that's not fun to get used to. Here's the thing about the internet is that anyone can express their opinion and everyone can see it. And I've expressed a lot of stupid opinions on the internet.
Sure, so have I.
And if I get to express my stupid opinions, so does everyone else.
Sure.
That doesn't mean those opinions are right. That doesn't mean that people can't criticize the people if they've got, you know, some people have got some pretty horrible opinions, and it's right to criticize them, but everyone gets their say, you know, at one point. So you got to learn to deal with that. That's fine. You know, I've played some great games that other people really, really like and going, oh, I didn't like this. And instead of going, look, this game's not for me, I went, oh, this sucks.
Right.
Which is a stupid response, but sometimes I'm stupid. I'm allowed to be stupid. I'm disappointed in myself when I'm stupid, but I'm allowed to be stupid. That's part of of modern culture, you know. So there's that. There's also the fact that you'll see people that you admire disappoint you, and that hurts. That hurts a lot. You know, you see someone, whether it's their work that you admire or just their attitude or everything like that, or, you know, maybe you grew up playing their games, they'll do stuff that disappoints you, whether they turn out to be homophobic, whether they turn out to be racist, whether they turn out to be bad business people, you know, that break promises, whatever. You will be disappointed if you admire someone for everything, because sometimes a person that's good at one thing is bad at other stuff. That sucks, and that's something you got to learn to deal with. And I mean, I've disappointed people. I'll disappoint people again. That's just part of the human experience, is learning and making mistakes. And, you know, you got to allow people to make mistakes, or, you know, it's a kind of double standard if you expect everyone to be perfect because you're not perfect. So, you know, and with regards to like the negative feedback and everything like that, when you go to certain things like a comment section, like a forum, you have to expect that some people's words aren't going to work the way you want, because that's how the world is. Nothing's friendly, nothing's easy. They're not there to pay you compliments all day. That's not how stuff works. And sometimes, you know, the horrible thing that they say might push you more. Sometimes it might not. You know, that's, everyone develops in different ways, but you can't stop that stuff. So you can minimize it by limiting yourself to, like, I don't read comment sections, that, because I know what comment section does for me. It puts, you know, it makes me spend energy or thought or time on something that doesn't help me in any way at all. You know, so I stay away from those things. I don't even read many reviews, not because I don't think the reviewer's attitude is important, but mostly by the time a game ships, I know most of the stuff that's wrong with it, right, or that I wish was done better. And if I want to know more about that, I will ask people directly. I'll be like, hey, you know, what could we have done better here? People that I trust, not just some guy, you know.
Well, some guy usually has a pretty good opinion.
But I would rather ask, for example, a game designer who's had 10 years of trying to figure out why games work or don't. I would rather ask someone that's been looking at art for a million, you know, they've looked at a million different images to try and figure out why images work. They're going to have more idea a lot of the times of why something did or didn't work than some person in a YouTube comment section that's just, this isn't Mass Effect 4, or I guess 5 now, because Mass Effect 4, you know, got a lot of people angry. But, you know, this isn't the thing I like. I'm going to say something about it.
Yeah.
And you know, we all know that that person's just been stupid. We've all been there, but it's easy to get angry about that stuff. You know, it just doesn't really help.
Nope.
You know, so I try and focus my energies. Like, you know, I do this thing on Twitter where I see a lot of negativity on Twitter, and I get that a lot of people are angry, that a lot of people are disappointed. It's, you know, but I see people talk about toxic stuff and paying a lot of attention to people that are very negative, and I hate to see that. So whenever I see that, I make a point of trying to promote someone that is worthy of promotion, you know, because people talk about the bad guys a lot, and that frustrates me. So I always try, if I see that, I'm like, well, you know what, I'm going to talk about a good guy now, you know, someone that I admire, that they don't have 50,000 followers because they're not an asshole.
Right.
So I always try and just think, well, you know, this is a chance for me to go, you know, I'm upset about this, but if I talk about them, I'm just putting wood on the fire. Mm-hmm. I'd rather say, hey, this other thing is worthy of your time.
Mm. Yes. Good.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, good. I just said that twice in a row.
You did.
I did.
Congratulations on having a memory.
I changed my email tone on my phone to the score noise from King's Quest VI, and it's changed my life.
I bet it has.
Because now every time I get an email, I'm like, oh, I've succeeded and I've raised my score in life.
Did I tell you about the song Boys by Charlie XCX?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's got the... Every time it plays, I think of Mario collecting a coin.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the actual thing because I'm too lazy to compare it, but I'm like, that's what it reminds me of.
Fair enough. Well, good. I think we've covered what we need to cover.
Yeah, I guess in summary, having other people around is really great and really inspiring and has its share of challenges. And you gotta be careful both what you say and what you see.
Yes, I'll give some parting words of wisdom, which I've said before, but I don't mind repeating because I think they're very important. The games community, and the adventure games community especially, is tiny. Very, very tiny. So be nice, because you never know if you say something stupid and asshole-y to somebody, you never know who that person might know, and that might come back to bite you in the ass. It hasn't happened to me, thankfully, because I try to be nice, and it hasn't happened to anybody that I know, because most people I know are nice. But... trust me, word gets out, and if you get a reputation as an asshole, no one's going to want to associate with you, so do your best to be nice.
Unfortunately, there's 111 episodes of me being mean to you recorded, so I'm screwed. But,
that's different.
I know.
All right, well, good. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 111. If you enjoyed what you heard,
I wonder what that is in binary.
Oh, I just saw an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation that was about. It was called 1101101, and it was about aliens that communicated exclusively in binary. They were called the Binars.
How appropriate.
Yes, but let's not steal business from Richard.
Sorry, I mean oh.
Ugh. I think you won this podcast.
Good.
I was going to say, let's not steal business from Richard Goodness, who has the Trek About podcast that I believe they covered that episode recently. Anyway, yes, this has been episode 111. Thanks for listening. If this is your first episode, thanks even more for listening. You have a lot to go back through. And if you like what you hear, you can follow us individually. I am at Grundislav Games on Twitter.
I am at Ben_304. And together we are BCT.
We are...
Is it at, underscore?
No, we forgot the at.
Oh, at BCT.
At BCT underscore podcast.
It is podcast.
That was terrible.
Underscore. I've forgotten who we are.
Let's try that one more time. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
And together we are
at BCT underscore podcast. There we go. Good.
And I am sick.
Yeah, you are sick in the head.